Hello and welcome to Volume 46, Number 2 of Grapevine, your weekly local news magazine. Brought to you by the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association, this edition is published on Friday the 9th of January 2026. I'm Graham, your presenter, joined this week by newsreaders Desney and Margaret. And in the news this week, well, nothing much about the weather, as what we know as we record will happen before you get to listen. So resort to your local news outlets for the inevitable warnings. A message aimed at our postal listeners who receive their first of the year recordings this week. The two online editions we produced since Christmas will follow this recording on your memory sticks to make sure that you've not missed out on any important stories. The news coming up in a nonce, but not before we've wished Ron Wurzel and Doreen Frith very best birthday wishes for this Saturday the 10th, and a similar best wishes to Grapevine Committee member and listener Sean McGarry for this coming Sunday. All the very best to you all. Okay, time for the first of this week's news with Margaret and Desney.
Thousands of jobs are at risk after two major high street retailers with stores across Norfolk collapsed into administration. Claire's Accessories and the original factory shop are being put into administration after their owner said last-ditch measures to save the companies had fallen through, putting about 2,500 UK staff at risk of redundancy. Claire's has two remaining stores in Norwich's Chantry Place and Castle Quarter. Shopping centres, with its locations in Great Yarmouth and King's Lynn, closing late last year as part of a restructuring. The original factory shop has stores in Galston, Attleborough, Cromer, Dereham, Harleston, Stalham, Wotton and Wyndham, as well as another in Bungay. The two retailers had already undergone restructuring and were bought by investment firm Modella Capital last year. In a statement, a spokesman for Modella Capital said it had made the tough decision to kick-start insolvency proceedings for the businesses. We have worked intensively in an effort to save both businesses, having made last-ditch attempts to rescue them. But neither has a realistic possibility of trading profitably again, it said. In these circumstances, administration is the only option. It means 1,355 employees in the UK and Ireland at 154 Claire's shops will be put at risk, plus 1,220 staff across 140 of the original factory shop stores.
A restaurant owner has been given permission to shrink his business in half to make room for a new shop. Great Yarmouth Borough Council has approved a planning application by Raz Chaudhary, who owns Indian Curry House Bombay Night on King Street in Great Yarmouth. The planning permission will allow him to subdivide the building to create a separate shop. In a statement submitted with the application, Mr. Chaudhary said the proposal would retain the building's commercial use and improve its economic viability. According to the plans, the subdivision will result in only limited changes to the external appearance of the building, with the main change being the creation of a new entrance door within the existing shop front. A planning officer said the plans would allow for the creation of an additional retail unit in Great Yarmouth Town Centre, without harm being caused to the historic character of the area. They also said the proposal would not negatively impact the amenity of any neighbouring residents. There are no objections to the plans.
Bin collections resumed on Thursday in Great Yarmouth after the snowy weather. Bin and bulk waste collections had been temporarily suspended on January the 6th until further notice because of the adverse weather conditions. But now the collections have resumed. Great Yarmouth Borough Council said, "We're pleased to confirm that bin collections will recommence today. Please leave your bins out as usual while our teams work to collect them as soon as possible." To help clear the backlog as quickly as possible, garden waste collections are temporarily suspended, and this service will resume once crews have cleared a sufficient amount of outstanding waste and recycling.
A car was destroyed by fire outside the Clifftop Hemsby home of a convicted paedophile. The blaze broke out at a property linked to Jason Davis, 51, who was jailed for 2 years in February at Norwich Crown Court for breaching a sexual harm prevention order, SHPO, and for shooting two 13-year-old boys with an air gun. A vehicle parked in the front yard of the house was reportedly set alight at around 5 p.m. on Friday, January the 2nd. A neighbour said the fire spread rapidly and that the car literally exploded. The car and the property have been vandalised and broken into a few times over the past couple of months, they said. Norfolk Fire and Rescue Service were called to the fire at 5:06 p.m. Three appliances from Great Yarmouth attended the scene and crews worked in difficult conditions following severe coastal erosion at the site earlier that day. They used hose reel jets to extinguish the fire. The job took just over an hour. The neighbour added, "We were fortunate that the wind was blowing westerly, otherwise the fire could have spread to nearby homes. I don't know exactly how it started, but I believe it was done deliberately. The property has previously been targeted." In May, police were called after power cables were cut and a window and a patio door were damaged. Later that month, another window was smashed. Davis was placed on the sex offenders register in 2003 when he was sentenced to 12 years in prison at Northampton Crown Court. The court heard he had carried out systematic sexual abuse against three boys in Daventry and Milton Keynes over a five-year period during the 1990s. Norfolk Police said they have no records of being called to the latest incident.
A village butcher's shop, which served customers for more than a century, is to be turned into housing after a planning row which forced government officials to intervene. Philip Dow, who owns the former Chapman site on the Green in Martham, had his dream of incorporating the building into a neighbouring cottage refused by Great Yarmouth Council in December last year. The property, known as the Walnuts, was lived in by Mr Dow and his family, while the butcher shop traded. Council officers ruled that the plans conflicted with its planning policies. This is because converting the ground floor to a use other than retail, leisure, community or office breached its rules. The plans would have also included removing the existing door to the shop and replacing it with bricks. Planning officers said this change of design would have eroded the commercial character of the ground floor. Mr Dow went on to appeal to the Planning Inspectorate, the government department that presides over planning disputes. After reviewing the situation, the official ruled in favour of Mr Dow, stating the loss of the retail unit would not harm the viability of the village's local shopping centre. The inspector also disagreed that the proposed changes to the shop front would harm Martham's conservation area. Mr Dow was therefore granted permission to change the property into housing. The closure of Chapman's in April 2023 came 1 year after owners Mr Dow and his wife Francesca put the premises and its accompanying four-bedroom house on the market. Mr Dow took on the business in 1996, having worked there previously. He had started as a 14-year-old butcher's boy under its previous owner, George Chapman. Previously, he said that in an average week he sold 150 pounds of sausages, while people's tastes had not changed too much over the years, except for seasonings and flavourings. The butcher's was built in approximately 1895 by William and George Chapman. The adjoining house was built in around 1830.
A fitness firm has taken over a spa club in what has been described as a full circle moment by the owner. New Revolution, NR, Health and Fitness Club is now running the Old Hall Health and Spa Club in Caister-on-Sea. The centre becomes NR's eighth facility across the region and is where owner Nathan Gosling first started working in the health and fitness industry. "We're very, very excited to take over the lease of the club," he said. "It's a full circle moment for me. I was club manager here when I was 21 and managed the place for around 4 years before eventually moving on to create NR. And working here was a big stepping stone in that process." Caister Old Hall features a spa, swimming pool, sauna and steam room, and had previously been run by Mosaic Spa and Health Clubs. Mr. Gosling added, "We're really excited to take over the lease. We'll be listening to members' feedback over the coming months to identify any areas where we need to make changes or invest in the facility. All staff have been carried over in the move. It's a bit different to our 24-hour gyms. This facility won't be open for those hours. We have made changes to opening times, though. We have brought forward the opening time of the gym by half an hour to 6:30 a.m. and the pool will open at 7 a.m. These are very exciting times at NR. We've got a plan for what we want to do in 2026. We're very proud and excited to be here at Old Hall and looking forward to the rest of the year."
Advanced manufacturing firms in the region are set to receive more support to grow and innovate after the government agreed to double its funding for a programme designed to upskill the workforces of SMEs. The Made Smarter Adoption, MSA, scheme will deliver funding, impartial advice, a roadmap from digital specialists, and leadership and management development programmes. Norfolk County Council will also deliver and process 48 match-funded grants of up to £20,000. A successful pilot has seen the Council lead a £1.2 million programme in 2025-26, supporting more than 88 SMEs in the region. Funding for the £2.4 million programme for 2026-27, with the potential to increase in future years, has now been confirmed, subject to government funding. Dr. Jamie Thumbs, chairman of Made Smarter Adoption East of England, said, "On behalf of the East of England team, I am absolutely delighted with this award to further fund Made Smarter Adoption. As a result, we can extend the support for the manufacturing SMEs across the region who seek to embrace digital technologies and create performance gains essential to improving overall productivity."
One of the biggest villages in Norfolk is set to grow even larger, with two new developments of more than 100 houses. Great Yarmouth Borough Council has approved two planning applications for Bradwell. One scheme will see 77 houses built at Meadowland Drive, and the other is for 29 houses on land east of King's Drive, with a total of 13 classified as affordable. The wider site for the schemes already has outlined planning consent for up to 130 dwellings, and the first two phases of the development have already been built. Councillors have previously backed the scheme in September 2024, but left the final decision with planning officers, subject to several conditions. A new report published last month confirms these requirements have now been met. The developer has agreed to block through traffic between King's Drive and Marjoram Road using staggered barriers and has amended the roof designs on three plots to reduce overshadowing of neighbouring homes. The long-delayed Section 106 agreement has also been completed, securing the necessary financial contributions and obligations tied to the project. Planning conditions have been updated and tightened, including new controls on future alterations to prevent overlooking. More than 100 people have objected to the plans, raising concerns about the overdevelopment of the village. In recent years, Bradwell has been growing significantly, with hundreds more homes already constructed. They include the expanding Bluebell Homes estate being built by Persimmon, which will ultimately include around 1,200 houses. As part of that development, the council is currently considering plans for 28 houses on land south of Beaufort Way. Locals say the roads are already at capacity, while others fear health services, schools and other infrastructure will struggle to cope with the growing population. The recent applications have been fraught with difficulties since being submitted in January 2023. Mark Duffield, the landowner, was forced to take over the schemes after the original firm behind it, Lowestoft-based Wellington, collapsed in 2023.
Of all the places in all of Norfolk to seek refuge, a condemned clifftop property is surely one of the worst. But one daring seal pup decided it was the perfect hideout and was found living its best life on the Marams in Hemsby just minutes before the building was due to be demolished. Contractors have spent the last 3 weeks pulling down chalets that are at imminent risk of collapsing into the sea due to severe and rapid coastal erosion. While preparing to knock down another structure on Tuesday, January the 6th, workers were stunned to discover a weaned seal pup, named locally as Lucky, tucked away inside a shed. Realising the animal had only been a whisker away from disaster, they immediately contacted Friends of Horsey Seals, who rushed to the scene. The charity said that a sad day for a Hemsby home turned into a bizarre rescue, and they praised the workers for calling them. Workers demolishing a property on the Marams in Hemsby were startled to find a weaned seal pup living its best life in a shed, they said. We have no idea how long the seal pup has been in situ, but thank goodness the workers checked before the shed was demolished. The pup has now been taken to the beach, where it has joined other young seals that will soon be heading out to sea to make their way in life. Great Yarmouth Borough Council said it is in discussions with several other owners of properties on the Marams, which are now at risk because of the erosion. It is deeply upsetting for homeowners, but doing nothing is simply not an option with the rate of erosion we face.
The Dakotas with their instrumental hit from July 1963, The Cruel Sea, a sadly common experience of late. Well, we have Grapevine Extra coming up shortly with the month's events from Vision Norfolk and Desney's take on the coming week's TV. First, though, let's get you fully up to date with the rest of this week's local news.
A fundraiser by a St Peter's Church organist gained a major boost thanks to a community event. The Christmas Tree and Music Festival, held at St Peter's Church in Galston, took place for 5 days prior to Christmas. Councillor Carl Anderson, the Mayor of Great Yarmouth, was joined by Galston, St Mary and St Peter primary school students to open the festival. The event also showcased performances by the Chorus of St Cecilia, who presented two sold-out Christmas concerts as part of the festivities. With a packed schedule involving 7 concerts and 3 carol services, the event drew in more than 900 attendees. The church remained open during the day to allow people to see the beauty of the trees, which had been decorated by various groups. The Christmas Tree and Music Festival raised £4,000 towards the Organ Rebuild Fund, taking the total raised so far to £22,146. And Matthew Hardy launched the fund early last year, and the church has thanked everyone involved in supporting the event. And I have to just add to that, I took my little 3-year-old great-granddaughter to look at the church, and she was enchanted by the trees with all their lovely decorations and also fascinated by the crib. So well done, Matthew.
The first patients have been welcomed to a new maternity area at the James Paget University Hospital. The hospital has opened a new maternity triage area and assessment unit in Galston. The facilities provide accommodation right next to the hospital's maternity ward and bring together services previously delivered on the delivery suite and antenatal clinic. Triage midwife Kat Shepherd said, "It's a big upgrade from what we had before and will provide a better experience for our patients. It's more modern and spacious, has a waiting area which offers greater privacy for patients, and an office where staff can speak confidentially with patients over the phone." The new unit is next to Ward 11, which is on the first floor of the hospital. The facilities provide care for pregnant women and those who have recently given birth. The unit has dedicated monitoring spaces to allow for observations and a new waiting area. Courtney, one of the first patients to receive care in the new triage area, said, "It all looks so welcoming and professional. I was greeted and seen immediately, and the space is lovely." The opening of the triage marks the completion of a project which has seen a complete refurbishment of the maternity ward area. Staff from the hospital's Division of Surgery, Women's and Children's Services attended the official opening of the new facilities. The maternity triage is open 24/7 and the maternity assessment unity Monday to Friday from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
More than half of businesses across Norfolk say they will be forced to raise their prices in the next few months due to Rachel Reeves's latest budget tax increase. The Chancellor's crippling tax rises remain the main concern for almost two-thirds of firms, a survey by the British Chambers of Commerce, BCC, has revealed. Only 46% of companies expect sales to increase this year, the lowest level in 3 years. Meanwhile, rising wages and labour costs, alongside new employment legislation, were noted by almost three-quarters of firms surveyed. Nova Fairbank, Chief Executive of Norfolk Chambers of Commerce, said the latest figures reflect weakening confidence being reported by Norfolk businesses. Taxation is proving to be the biggest challenge, and over half are expecting to have to raise prices in the next few months, she warned. We're also seeing investment plans being scaled back, with around a quarter of the businesses nationally pulling back on spending for machinery and equipment, which is concerning. Recruiting and retaining skilled people is also a persistent issue across all sectors. The quarterly research surveyed more than 4,600 businesses across the UK and found that 52% of firms expect to put their prices up in the next 3 months, up on 44% the previous quarter. Almost a quarter of firms believed their turnover would fall in 2026. Retail, hospitality and leisure businesses are set to be hit hardest by changes made in last November's budget, with wages and business rates set to increase in April.
The new political party, launched by Great Yarmouth MP, will hold its first conference next month. Great Yarmouth First, which was set up by millionaire businessman Rupert Lowe last month, will stage its official launch on Friday, February the 13th, at Britannia Pier Theatre. The party, which is planning to contest every seat at next local elections in the borough, will reveal its candidates at the conference. Mr. Lowe said, "This is an entirely new way of doing politics. Fresh, local, different. Great Yarmouth First will unapologetically put the people of this constituency first, not the usual petty national politics which has failed our communities so terribly. Our conference is an opportunity to show how serious about that we are, outlining plans, policies and candidates." Mr. Lowe was elected for Reform UK in the general election last year, but now sits as an independent following the suspension of the party whip in March. The new party's name echoes the slogan America First, which has frequently been used by United States President Donald Trump. Last month, a poll found that Great Yarmouth First would beat Reform if an election were held tomorrow. The research by Find Out Now, which surveyed 121 people living in Great Yarmouth, recorded a majority of 31% of people would vote for the MP's new political venture. Nearly a quarter of people, 22%, said they didn't know when asked how they would vote if there was an election tomorrow, and Mr. Lowe's Great Yarmouth First stood a candidate. Mr. Lowe previously launched the political organisation Restore Britain in June and currently serves as its leader. The organisation advocates for the deportation of all illegal immigrants, protecting British culture and restoring what it describes as Christian principles.
Two town centre pubs with living space above them have been put up for sale. Both have downstairs pub areas which have recently been refurbished. Allen's Bar in Greyfriars Way in Great Yarmouth is up for sale at a guide price of £250,000. The pub reopened this summer after an extensive 18-month refurbishment after being closed for several years. It was granted planning permission in April for the first and second floors of the premises to be converted into 9 holiday let rooms. Auction House East Anglia said the works for these rooms are ongoing and access to them will be available via the pub and outside. The bar area is on the ground floor alongside a refurbished toilet area. It also has a garden area with extra seating, a cellar and kitchen. A spokesperson from Auction House East Anglia said, "With management staff in situ, this presents a ready-made business development opportunity." The Mitre on George Street is up for sale at a guide price of £130,000. The pub was recently refurbished and has a self-contained 3-bedroom apartment above. The refurbishment included the ground floor contemporary bar area, refitted toilets, a commercial fitted kitchen with a storage area and a cellar downstairs. It is predicted that this would yield in the region of £15,000 per annum if it were let out. The apartment has been refurbished and is fully fitted with a bathroom and kitchen. It has its own access from George Street. It is currently let and produces £900 per calendar month, which is expected to remain the same. The spokesperson added, the property presents an attractive investment or an opportunity for owner-occupier looking to run their own pub with manager's accommodation. Both properties were up for auction via live stream on December the 10th, but Auction House confirmed that neither were sold and are still available.
And another pub looking for new tenants is the Ram Inn in Brundle. A 17th century village pub in the heart of the Broch is seeking new tenants. The Ram Inn in Brundle could soon have new management as the owners have started advertising for someone to take over the running of the site. Owned by the Stonegate Group, the Ram is available for an annual rent of £36,000, with a potential annual turnover of more than £500,000. A spokesman for Stonegate explained that the pub remains open and trading, but the group is recruiting a long-term publican to take on the watering hole. As well as the pub, the tenancy includes private accommodation on the first floor with three bedrooms, a lounge, a kitchen and a bathroom. The regional manager for Stonegate added, the Ram Inn requires a new or experienced publican who can quickly and seamlessly integrate themselves with the local community by continuing to offer first-class service and hospitality. The pub has a significant drink trade and the chance to further boost its revenue through offering a traditional pub food offer.
Police were called after a group of children started throwing snowballs from a roundabout. Officers received reports of teenagers throwing snowballs from the Norwich Road roundabout in Acle on Monday evening. A spokeswoman for Norfolk Constabulary said officers were called to the roundabout at 5:10 p.m, but when they arrived, they could not find their snowball throwers. It comes amid snowy and freezing conditions in Norfolk, don't we know it, which has seen the Met Office issue several weather warnings.
More news from Acle. Norfolk police have launched an investigation into a break-in at a shop which saw a large amount of Pokemon cards stolen. Officers were alerted to a burglary at J&J Vintage, based in Malton Nurseries near Acle, on January the 2nd. A number of goods were stolen from the shop, which sells vintage, retro and antique items. J&J Vintage said in a social media post, I'm sorry to report that our shop was broken into over New Year, with a significant amount of Pokemon stock stolen. What was left has now been taken out for safe storage. We unfortunately need to close the shop for a couple of weeks to repair damage and decide what next for the shop. A spokeswoman for Norfolk Police said, officers are investigating a burglary at a commercial premises in Malton St Mary. It was reported to us on Tuesday, January the 2nd, and was believed to have happened overnight. Suspects forced entry and a number of items were stolen.
A set of failed sea defences has washed up onto Caister Beach. Gabions, which are rock-filled cages to protect against coastal erosion, have appeared on the beach in Caister. Caister Parish Council said, we reported to Great Yarmouth Borough Council the gabions littering our beach from the failed sea defences further north at Scrapby and beyond. These were washed up all along our beaches on Friday's high tide and present a safety hazard as they have a lot of sharp edges from where they broke. There are seven in a short space between the end of Beach Road and the lifeboat station. Some are part buried in the sand and are a real hazard. The parish council has urged people to take care walking along the beach and to look after dogs when near them. The gabions at Scrapby were installed at a £600,000 community-led scheme spearheaded by the Scrapby and California Environment Group, SCEG. The 877-metre-long gabions were laid out in 2015 and were designed to protect 35 homes over 25 years. A spokesperson for Great Yarmouth Borough Council said, The gabion baskets were irreparably damaged in the recent bad weather and will be safely removed as soon as possible.
A Great Yarmouth Vet Practice is launching a pet wellness campaign. The initiative, led by Haven Veterinary Surgeons, also aims to detect early signs of illness in animals, which may benefit from medical attention sooner rather than later. Throughout January, the Queen Anne's Road practice will offer a free wellness consultation with a vet or nurse. Dog owners can also nab a half-price PitPat activity monitor to keep tabs on their pets through the app, which also offers personalised exercise advice. During each free wellness consultation, Haven veterinary surgeons will use a life stage assessment to consider each animal's health based on their age. Pet owners can then expect personalised advice on nutrition, exercise and preventative care to keep pets at their happiest and healthiest. Nicola Jacobs, the practice's director, said, "Our team will then provide expert advice and support to help every owner take those first steps towards a healthier lifestyle for their pets. Anyone looking to book a consultation can contact the Queen Anne's Road-based team until January the 31st.
Well, that's all for the news for this week, so welcome to Grapevine Extra. Firstly, it's the month's events available at Vision Norfolk, followed closely by Disney's look at the coming week's TV. Well, because of the Christmas break, we're a bit late getting the January Vision Norfolk event programme to you. But here it is, starting from the coming week, and for a change in date order. Tuesday the 13th of January is bowling from 12 until 3. Wednesday the 14th of January is the GY coffee morning from 10 until 12. Thursday the 15th sees the cribbage group from 10 until 12 and knit, stitch and natter from 1 until 3. Friday the 16th is the weaving group from 10 until 12 and creative writing in the afternoon from 1 until 3. Monday the 19th is burger and bingo from 11 until 1 and a tour of the Great Yarmouth Town Hall with a talk from 2 until 4. Tuesday the 20th of January, it's Caster Coffee morning from 10 until 12 and note that this will be at Branford's Restaurant and Bar for January only. Wednesday the 21st of January is the GY Coffee morning from 10 until 12. Wednesday the 21st also sees from 12:30 until 1:30 yoga. And on Thursday the 22nd, cribbage group is on from 10 until 12. Also in the afternoon on the 22nd, it's pub club from 1 until 3. Friday the 23rd sees the weaving group from 10 until 12, and forward to Wednesday the 28th of January, it's the Great Yarmouth Coffee morning again until from 10 until 12. Thursday the 29th sees the cribbage group from 10 until 12, and at the same time on Friday the 30th, it's the rug making group. In the afternoon, Friday the 30th, audio book club from 1:30 until 3, And for more information on that, please contact Mark or Helen on 01603 573000 extension 341. For more details on any of those items, you can contact Vision Norfolk on 01493 745 973 or email Catherine.bond, that's Catherine with a C, .bond at visionnorfolk, all one word, .org.uk. And the address, of course, is 12 Hall Quay, Great Yarmouth, NR30 1HP. Okay, it's over to Desney for her look at the week's TV.
There are already at least two new series underway on the BBC this year. You may already be getting into The Traitors. There's 22 members of the public this time instead of all those A-lister celebrities that we had a great time with a few weeks ago at the end of last year. This time, we've got a few additional bits and pieces to the show. We've just had, for instance, the unmasking of the secret traitor. That's the one in the red cloak, after the faithfuls discovered the identity of one traitor in the very first week. And also, a new show on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. in Can You Keep a Secret?, in which Dawn French and Mark Heap team up for a six-part sitcom that deals with Parkinson's, insurance fraud and intimacy in later life. Through a series of farcical circumstances, William, that's the Parkinson's sufferer, is accidentally declared dead. And his wife Debbie, that's Dawn, decides to keep up the pretense. So it's a comedy about a family battling to keep their secret from a set of eccentric neighbours in their little village. They want to claim the money on the life insurance. Sounds a bit dodgy to me. This Sunday, the 11th of January, we've got the start of a new series. That's series 15 of Call the Midwife, which now reaches the 1970s. Seems like only yesterday, doesn't it, Margaret?
Certainly does.
The Nonatus House and team grows increasingly concerned for the welfare of four young children, while Trixie and some of the other midwives are busy attending a women's liberation movement meeting. Goodness me, is that when it started, all this women's lib? I don't hear so much about that now, because we are all liberated, I suppose. And that is starting this Sunday, 11th of January, and it's on BBC One at 8 p.m. And another already started one is The Masked Singer, which is on ITV. On Saturdays at 7 p.m. I think last week it was on Saturdays and Sunday, wasn't it? Just as a starter to get you in the mood, I suppose. After The Masked Singer on ITV on Sundays, where The Masked Singer was just for the one Sunday last week, is The Floor, which has got Rob Brydon hosting, and it's another general knowledge quiz type show. But on The Floor there are, I think they said, 81 people. That must be like 9 by 9 on this floor of squares, and everybody's got their own personal chosen specialist subject. Well, there were all sorts of strange ones last week. I did see a bit of it because I thought I'd better if I was going to tell you about it. And after the Sunday at 7 p.m. The Floor, there's another new old one. That's Anton Deck's Limitless Win, which you may have seen before. And that starts again on this Sunday, and that's 8 p.m. There is also on Thursday at 9 p.m. I won't say a new series. I think this series has been sort of interspersed with other programmes for quite some time, because there's only three more programmes in the series, according to this. But it says they're back again, so They have had quite a long interruption. Well, I suppose Christmas does that, doesn't it? They suspend some things and put Christmassy stuff on. Anyway, Thursday, 9 p.m, part of Series 15. There's certainly two. Then they might have a break again, from what I could understand. Long-lost family, adopted children searching for their birth parents. The sports this week, well, it's FA Cup this weekend. So if you're a Norwich fan, Norwich is playing Walsall on Sunday at 2:30. And you can hear that on Radio Norfolk. If you're not a particular fan of Norwich and you'd rather just see somebody playing football, at 12 noon, you can see Macclesfield versus Crystal Palace. And Spurs versus Aston Villa are at 5:30. Their kickoff is 5:45. And both those are on BBC One. And on Sunday is the start of another snooker, BBC Two at Alexander Palace. And this will be on and off afternoon and evening sessions, I suppose. And because I don't know what it's because of, really, but perhaps the first week's not so important. Some of the evening shows are going to be at 7 o'clock on BBC Two, but the first couple are 7 o'clock on BBC Four. So if you're into snooker, you'll have to listen to the first one, which starts on Sunday afternoon, and they might tell you when the next one is. If you're a radio fan, a night owl, or an admirer of Dolly Parton, or preferably all three, then on Saturday night at midnight, this is for you. As Saturday turns into Sunday, Radio 2 brings you Dolly Parton, The Fan's Story. As Dolly Parton turns 80 on the 19th of January, she's joining us, Margaret.
She is, yes.
You'll probably be hearing her name mentioned many times in the next couple of weeks. But here, on this particular night, we have an array of musical stars paying homage to the Queen of Country, praising Dolly's songwriting, uncompromising attitude, charity and humility. There you are. I hope you find something that you'd like to listen to or watch.
Well, that's it for this week. Grapevine is copyright 2026 of the Great Yarmouth District Talking Newspaper Association. News content is adapted mainly from the Great Yarmouth Mercury. However, the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association accepts responsibility for editorial decisions made for this recording. Next week, your newsreaders will be Dusty, Margaret Two, and Julie. So we look forward to your company for that. But in the meantime, we wish you a good week and hope you stay safe and well, with a reminder for our postal listeners that our previous 2 weeks' recordings follow this. So, to all of you, it's bye for now.